Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice Williams. It is a blessing to be found in your presence, in your ear. Yeah, it's a blessing. Yes, it is. Yeah. We just thank God for you. We thank God for all of you who have just come this evening to spend some quality time with us. Yeah, we are grateful. Yes, we are. Yeah, we are grateful. And we know that so many things are going on. Oh, so many things are going on. Some of the things that are very overwhelming for all of us. But we trust in Almighty God. Yes, we trust Him. No matter what it looked like, we trust Him. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 we trust God. And we just continue to pray for one another and show love and kindness for one another. Yes, that is our job. That's our assignment. Our heavenly assignment is to love one another as He loves us. In Isaiah 43 and 10, it says, "You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Glory to God. And that's in Isaiah 43 and 10. There was no God before him, and there will certainly be no God after him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah. Now we know, again, that the nation is dealing with some serious situations. But we serve an Almighty God who hears us, who cares about us, who is concerned. Yeah, yeah. He's concerned. He's watching and looking at how well we're handling situations. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes. We know that we have our country is somewhat in a turmoil. The police, our citizens, we have families that are hurting. Yeah, we have a lot tonight that we need to focus on. And how we focus on these situations is through prayer. It's through communicating with God. Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do best. So I'm just going to ask you for a moment to just bow your heads with me as we go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come, Master, thanking you, Lord, for allowing us to come together. Thank you, God, for this day, for this very moment. Thank you, Master, for this hour. Oh, God, we come today lifting up the country, oh, God, the country as a whole, the nation, Master. The nation, we lift the nation up to you, God. Master, you said in your word that we are to show love to one another. We are to show brotherly love, oh God, to one another. We are to show kindness and concern to one another, oh God. It's not about the color of our skin. It's not about that. It's all about the countenance in our heart, oh God. In our heart, and that we should look at each man, woman, girl, or boy and see you in them, oh God. Oh, Master, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to help us, oh God. Help us, Master. Many times we cannot do this on our own. We need your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truths, into all areas of our lives, God. Oh, Master, we need you. You know the situations, oh, God. You know all the families. You know everyone by name. Oh, God, we lift up those officers, their families, God. We lift up the men, oh, God, who were just slaughtered down in the street. Master, we lift up those families to you tonight, this day, this very day, this very moment, this very hour. We lift up the situations to you, God. Master, we know that you said in your word that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Master, we see it. We are living revelations right now. But we cannot do it without you, oh God. We need you, God. Yes, we need you, Master. Yes, we do. We lift up those families that are hurting. Their hearts are broken, oh God. Right now they feel that there is no reason to go any further. We lift them up to you, God. And we ask you, Master, right now in the name of Jesus, to send us, oh God, that we may minister to them, that we may console them, oh God. Let us be a light shining in a dark place, oh God. That we may be able to tell men, girls, and boys that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. We ask you right now, in the name of Jesus. And we're going to be careful to give you all the praise. We're going to give you all the honor. Because you are God. And besides you, there is no other. Oh, Master, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank you for being with us today. And we're just going to go right on into our lesson. And we know that we haven't had Dr. Jackson with us for a little while, but she will be returning. Yeah, just hold on to your seats. Yes, yes, yes. Go get your water. And we're going to move on into our lesson. Our lesson tonight is talking about silence. You know, as a noun, we see that silence means to absence from sound, to be quiet. That's what silence means. Yeah. And, you know, many times it's very hard for some of us to be quiet. We don't know how to be silent. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for us to be quiet. Kind of hard for us to be quiet. Yeah. As a verb, comes silent or prevent us from speaking. Yeah, nothing comes out as a verb. Yes, the Latin word for silence means tedious. Yes, tedious. And the very moment that you were born, you were patted on your bottom. Yeah, so the physician could hear you make a sound. He wanted to hear that cry. Yeah, and that way he would know everything was okay. Yeah, he needed to hear that cry. He didn't want to hear the silence. He needed to hear that cry, yeah. If there is no sound and only silence, then there's a problem. Yes, yes, there's a problem. But just today, I witnessed a call for silent prayer. Yeah. In a hospital, the hospital called everyone who was in the building into a certain area for silent prayer. Yeah, a silent prayer, a peaceful commune with God. No words spoken, openly, but it's only a quiet calmness that takes place. Yeah. This is when we're silent. Yeah. You know, I am just overwhelmed with everything that's going on, just like most of us today. But again, we serve an Almighty God. And He knows. And He sees everything. Yeah, He knew that this was going to happen before it happened. Look at the book of Revelation. The Revelation tells us that we will see wars and rumors of wars. Yeah. It may not appear to us as a war because we don't see a military tank rolling down the street. But then at some point we have seen the tanks,
it is a war. People may not be suited up the way we think in a war or a war zone or in a tunnel or in a hole, but it's still war. And so God has prepared his people. Yes. When he told us in Revelations that we will see this. And he also said that we should not be dismayed. Yeah. He said, don't be dismayed. He said, because I am your God. Yeah. Don't be dismayed. Dismayed means surprised. Don't be shocked. Yeah. You can be overwhelmed, but you're going to get over that because you're going to go back within a minute to trusting that God. Trusting him no matter what's going on, no matter what it looked like. Hallelujah. We give him praise tonight. You know, I was going to talk about 1 Kings. I was going to go to 1 Kings 19, but I feel really led to go to the book of St. Luke, chapter 1, and verse 8. This is where I'm really, I was just enjoying this particular lesson in the book of Luke. If you just turn with me, we're going to just try to touch on this a little quick here today. And in verse 8, let me get that. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. It starts out and it says, one day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn the incense in the Lord's presence. Yeah. You know, Zechariah was a priest. Yes. He was a high priest. Yes, he was. Now look at verse 10, and it says, when the incense was being burnt, a great crowd, it stood outside and it was praying. Verse 11 says, Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared. Yes, an angel of the Lord appeared. Now, we know when the angel of the Lord appears, that's the presence of the Lord. Yeah, because the angel represents our Almighty God. Hallelujah. Yes, so the angel of the Lord appeared. And he was standing to the right of the incense altar. So this was the right. And we see that in verse 12, Zechariah became overwhelmed. He became overwhelmed with fear. Now, mind you, I said to you that Zechariah was a priest. Yes, he was a priest. And he wasn't, he hadn't just begun the priest. Became a priest. He hadn't just begun doing priestly duties. He had been a priest for some time. 13 says, but the angel said, don't be afraid. The angel of the Lord has always came and comforted us and tried to reassure us that there was nothing to be afraid of, that there was love here and that it was okay. Look at that. The angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid. He said, for God has heard your prayer. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. Glory to God. Look at that. And you are to name him John. Glory to God. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to me, usually, if the Lord is sending an angel to you, if the Lord is sending an angel to you, yeah, you got to be really something special. You are really something special for the Lord to take time out of his schedule, all the things that the Lord does, and he dispatches this angel just for you. Glory to God. Look at that. And it says, you will have great joy. This is verse 14. And gladness. And many will rejoice with you at his birth. Thank you, Lord. verse 15 says, "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." Glory to God. Look at such honor. Oh, such a gift. That is a serious, that is a royal gift. Hallelujah. 16, and it says, "And he will pursue many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God." 17, "He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah, prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will change the disobedient minds to accept God's wisdom." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a gift. Yeah. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Think about that. Think about that. What a blessing. To have this. Unexpected. He knew that he had been praying, and he knew that him and his wife Elizabeth wanted a child. But he wondered, when was God going to answer? Glory to God. Sound like something some of us may be going through today? How many of us out there that's been praying, been lifting up a situation to God continuously for a very long time, wondering, "Do you hear me, Lord? God, I need your help. Master, I asked you that last week. Oh, God, hear my prayer. Master, I'm calling on you." How many times have you called on God on a behalf of a situation, on a behalf of a loved one, on a behalf of a community, on the behalf of a brother or sister in Christ? How many times? Well, we see in this story here, the angel of the Lord said to Zechariah, he said, let's go to verse 13. He said, "For God has heard your prayer." Hallelujah. He heard it. That's what he said. See, whenever we calling on God, and whenever we sending up a petition, whenever we acknowledging him, and whenever we come to the altar and we lay it down, whenever we go to God in quietness, go to God over a situation, we should never feel that he does not hear us. Hallelujah. He is an almighty God. Yeah. And he said that for some of us, before we finish even asking, he will have already answered. Glory to God. Some of our petitions. And now usually if God is sending an angel to you to deliver a message, this is a message that's being delivered. Are you listening to me? A message that's being delivered directly to Zechariah. Special delivery. Hallelujah. Special delivery. Yeah. All he had to do was put his signature on it. He had to sign that he receiving it. But oh, let's look at this. In verse 18. Look at verse 18. Something is getting ready to shift here. In verse 18, we see that Zechariah said to the angel. Now, how can I know this will happen? I'm an old man. He said, I'm an old man now. And my wife is also well along in age. Sound like something you heard before? When I read that, I said, is this another Sarah and Abraham? Is this another Sarah and Abraham? Wow. I'm an old man now. My wife is also well alone in age. But you know what? As saints of God, now look at this. Look at this real good. Because Zechariah is a priest. Yeah, because we would think that the priest is one who knows God, one who has been in the Lord's presence. So why, in verse 18, is Zechariah questioning the angel?
And he's talking to the angel, and he's telling him, how could this be? He says, I am an old man, and my wife is old. So this sounds like this is a petition that has gone on for a long time, and they just begin to feel that it would never come to pass, that God would never hear them. Sound like anybody out there? Sound like any of you who have been talking to God about a situation and nothing has happened? Sound like our country? Have we been praying? Have we been interceding? And it seems like nothing is going on. Well, look at this. Verse 19. In verse 19, then the angel said, now, I want you to just stay with me with this, because in my Bible, I have explanational points, marks, and I have some commas, and I have some other marks that shows that these are words that are very strong at this particular time. And it says here, he says, Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. And he has an explanation mark behind that. He said, I stand in the presence of God. Now, why do you think he's saying that? Well, you see right here, he's trying to remind Zechariah. You know, sometimes we got to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. And he's trying to remind him. He said, I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you good news. What he's saying is, I didn't come here on my own. I was sent. I was sent here to you by the Most High God. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. I was sent. I was sent to you. I was sent to deliver you a special delivery. Look at that. A special delivery. 20 says, and now, since you didn't believe what I said, what he said here, since you didn't believe me, since you're questioning what I have to tell you, since you're questioning all the blessings, these were blessings, from verse 15 to verse 17 were words prophesied of blessings that would be over this particular child. But in the presence of Gabriel, Zechariah began to reject this. He began to question it. He began to doubt. And you know, the scripture said that we, the believers in Christ, we walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. So it's not that we see something that moves us. What should move us is what we don't see, what we're anticipating, and what we're looking to come. Hallelujah. Anybody with me with this? And it says, now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born. Glory to God. Look at that. So what he's saying here is, at this very moment, Zechariah becomes silent. Zechariah can no longer speak. Why? Why has this happened? Yeah. He becomes silent. The elder, the seasoned saint, he can no longer speak because of unbelief. Zechariah, the priest. Yeah. So God has to reprimand Zechariah, the priest. And he's reprimanding him by bringing him into a place called silence, where he will no longer be able to say anything to anyone about the prophecy that he was given. He will not be able to show or share any doubt in what has been said. Glory to God. Is it possible that many of us,
begin to show disbelief in situations. And maybe this is why God has not come and delivered what we're asking, because of unbelief. Yeah. Uncertainty. That God has to step back and reprimand us because of unbelief. Look at this lesson. Here we have a man of God, glory to God, who's, we see he's working. Verse 8 says he's working in the temple. He's in the temple. Yeah. So to us, he's working in the church. Yes. He's burning. He's setting the incense. So these are his priestly duties. Whatever the priestly duties were, he was doing his job. He was doing what he was called to do by God. But here we see that he had some uncertainties going on, because whatever he had been asking, and we see he had been asking for a child for quite some time, he began to doubt God. How many of us have begun to doubt God? Some of the things that we see in our world today, are we doubting God? Are we doubting that these things will ever cease? Are we doubting him? Look at this. Gerah was reprimanded, even though he was sent this special gift, special delivery, just for him and his wife Elizabeth. Unbelief brought him to a place called silence. Yeah, unbelief, doubting God. The angel of the Lord showed up. The angel of the Lord is speaking to him, telling him what the Almighty God says will come to pass. Hallelujah. And here we see the man of God is standing here in a state of disbelief, in a state of doubt. Help us, God. Master, we need help. How many times have we begun to doubt God? And that is why God hasn't been able to give us, glory to God, what we have been asking. We ask him with one tongue, and the next tongue, we say he's not going to do that. What are we saying here? Look at this lesson. Help us to believe, no matter how long it takes for God to deliver. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come, Master, lifting all of us up today. All of us. We lift everyone under the sound of my voice. We lift you up right now in the name of Jesus. If you have any doubt at any time of what the Almighty God can do, we take authority over that doubt today, right now, in the name of Jesus. And we command faith to rise up in you, in Jesus' name. We look forward to having you back with us on next Friday evening. And don't forget, the same number on Sunday evening, God's Favorite Ministry with Pastor Vivian George. And that's from 7 to 8 o'clock. Yeah, 7 to 8 o'clock. Sister Peggy is also there with her encouraging words. We look forward to having you with us. Glory to God. Remember, I can do all things through Christ, who gives me strength. It's his strength. It's not my strength. It's his strength. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Good night.